us yesterday. She was out there on the sidewalk in the cold, handing out magnets and candy canes to people as they were. Can we give this little girl a hand for all of her hard work? Raylan, thank you so much. We appreciate all your hard work. You can go on to Sunday school. There's all kinds of stuff in that basket. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, if you've got your Bibles, that is where we are going. And with all of our concoctions of cords, I don't know if Brother Ted's going to make it work back there or not, but I'm sure he'll make a valiant effort at it. And also, in 2 weeks on the 21st, thank you, my wife. She is my director. December the 21st, which is not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. Make sure y'all all get this one. It's very important. Not this coming Sunday, but the next. We will be going to Poblano's after service. So save $10, save $5 if you want to go and just order water and lemons in it. That's okay. They have chips and salsa, and just order a drink if you want. But we are going to go to Poblano's, and we're going to have just some time of fellowship after service for all of those that can. And you will be on your own as far as what you order. But we will be giving door prizes away there that day. And every few minutes, we will be drawing a name out of the hat from everybody that's there. And we'll be giving prizes away all during that day. Just a little time of fellowship to celebrate the Christmas season. And we're all going to have plenty of turkey, and we're all going to have plenty of ham, I'm sure, for Thanksgiving. So we're going to go down there and enjoy some time of fellowship. I didn't think anybody would want McDonald's. So we're going to go down and enjoy a little bit of a Spanish food, if you will, and have a little time of fellowship. So write that down. We will not be in a hurry that day. So I will tell our young people from Walkerton, if you come with us, you may be late getting back. So we're not going to be in a hurry that day. We are going to enjoy each other's fellowship that day. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 1, and I better get to the right passage here. It's chapter number 3, verse number 1. If you got your text today, you know I'm going to be preaching on, could we be living in the last days? I'm not going to preach but just a few minutes today. But I believe in this day and era, we need to be refreshed. Our minds need to be jogged every now and then that, you know what? This thing is winding up. With this old world is not going to last forever, and this thing is quickly coming to an end. And it's very important for us to recognize those signs and those things. Verse number 1 says this: know also that in the last days, perilous times. Does it say might come? No, it says they shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those things that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which come unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I want to speak just for a little while on this topic. Could we be living in the last days. Can we ask the Lord to help us as we work through some scriptures here? Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for everything you're doing in the midst of this city and amongst your people. We ask you, God, to guide my tongue, guide my thoughts, everything you put into me, God, that I might impart something into this body that could help us to recognize the closeness and the deepness and the reality, God, that this world is not going to last forever. And if something doesn't change, your approach and your coming is coming very soon. Help us to be ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. You may be seated. I find it interesting this week as I was listening to the radio, as they began to talk about, I believe the name was Charlie, and they were fighting for the rights of Charlie, that actually went to a court case for Charlie, and they were fighting because Charlie was being the actual true quote or term for what was being done to Charlie was illegal imprisonment, is what they had Charlie convicted of. And they were trying to free Charlie from his illegal imprisonment. And as I listened to this, the more I began to listen to it, I thought, you know, they shouldn't, if Charlie didn't do anything wrong, they shouldn't have Charlie in prison. Why is Charlie in prison? And the more I listened, the more I began to think, you know, they should really release Charlie. Charlie should get out of there. Only to get to the end of the discussion to realize the entire lawsuit was over Charlie the chimpanzee. And they had literally taken it to court because they had Charlie in a cage. They were trying to get rights for Charlie that were equal with humans. And then they began to discuss the fact that trees have rights too, and trees should have a chance to stand on their own, even though they're still a tree. I never dreamed in my lifetime I would hear those that were fighting to free an animal. Do I think it's good to cage up an animal and abuse them? No, but what they don't realize is the caging of that chimpanzee was for the protection of that chimpanzee. If he did not get back to the real world where he could be released into the wild, that chimpanzee would die. You take downtown New York City and you let that chimpanzee out of that cage, and you know what's going to happen to that chimpanzee? He's going to live a short life. He will die. As I listened to that, the more I began to realize the biblical things that we are seeing come to pass day after day after day after day. We are quickly seeing the one world religion coming faster and faster and faster and faster. We're seeing the ecumenical gathering of world religions. They are now having a conference nearly every year where they are getting all religions together in one group, trying to hammer out what it really should look like with one world religion. You may not realize this, but America has quickly began to give away its sovereignty one little thing at a time. We are giving away the sovereignty of America to a one world government, to where now if we are going to go in to defend ourselves, we need to go and ask the United Nations if it is okay if for us to go in to defend ourselves. Little by little, we are giving up the things in America that has protected our freedom for all of our lives as little children growing up. And one thing after another, we think it's just the evolution of society, and it is to a certain extent. But we must realize that the evolution of society is quickly carrying us through to something called the last days. And the last days the Bible depicts as not being a pretty place. It depicts as not a time that you want to live through. It depicts a time where persecution will run rampant because someone baptizes or preaches in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus came to this world and he began to promulgate the gospel of his kingdom, and he began to promulgate the thought process that the Old Testament tabernacle religion that they had been there to give them a basis of life up until the point of his coming. They rejected him because it was something different than what they were used to. And it was not the Romans that called for his destruction and crucifixion. It was who? It was his very own people. It was the Jews. It was the church of the day that called for the death of Jesus Christ. I want to make something brutally clear here to us as a church body today. The closer we come to the coming of God, the persecution we see will probably not come from the general public. It will probably come from those that do not agree with our doctrine. Those that have taken a convenient route down the road of world religion instead of staying true to what the Bible calls truth. But I want to tell us as a church, if we are willing to stand fast and hold true to the doctrine that was delivered to us in the Word of God, if we will stand firm on those things, and I've come to tell us that you got a little preacher here that still believes it. Baptism in Jesus' name is utmost of necessity in your life. You cannot get in any other way unless the blood of Jesus is applied to your life. But the Bible says you'll be persecuted for my name's sake. The difference is we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, which is the only way you will ever find anybody baptized in the entire Bible. They always went down in the name of Jesus Christ. But that is what is going to separate us probably from all other religions when it begins to wind down, is the fact that we baptize in Jesus' name. However, no matter what the persecution that comes, we must be careful that we don't deviate from truth. Pressure will come, pressure will push, pressure will be very hard on us, but we must make sure we stand true to the truth. As we come closer to the last days, Paul, writing to Timothy, gave us some signs. He said, in the last days, perilous times, not might come, but they shall come. They will come. It's not optional. It will happen that we will probably see things that we never thought we would see. He said, in the last days, men would be lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. Today's generation, we see pride and arrogance running rampant more than we've ever seen in a society before. We're in a very selfish society, whether we want to admit it or not. This society is an extremely selfish society. Their own agenda is all that really matters. That is a normal way of life for them. And I'm careful to say what I'm about to say, but we must be very careful as we are teaching and instructing our children the fine line between self-esteem and pride and arrogance. There is a difference. And if we are not careful, there are things that we can put into our children that if we aren't careful, it will push across the line and go into pride and arrogance instead of just having a confidence that God can carry you through the situation. I believe that a person must believe in something. And if they believe in themselves, that is what we call humanistic. That is what we call believing in the ability of mankind to be able to carry out whatever needs to be done. My Bible does not teach that. The Bible says you put your trust in the Lord, not in man. And when we get dependent upon government, we get dependent upon societies, we are heading down the wrong road. When we get dependent upon what I can control and what I can do, we are headed down a wrong road. In this generation, it's not uncommon for men to no longer care about their neighbor. And when someone is stranding on the road for them to drive on past and carry on, out of one thing, fear. The day when you could stop and help someone and know that they were probably an all right person is nearly gone. Why? Because crime has run rampant in today's society. Literally, you would not imagine the number of people that have been killed within 150 miles of this city, in a city called Chicago. You would not believe the number of murders that have taken place not very far from here in a city called South Bend. Why? Because the value of a life no longer matters to some people. It's a game. It's something that's an imagination in their mind that says, you know what? That's just a thing. It's not a human body. That's something that I must conquer. And when a society heads down that road, we're headed for perilous times. We're headed down a wrong road, and we are quickly heading down that road. And we must be careful to recognize the times that we are living in. Life in today's society for the church still should matter. It makes a difference whether life or death. We still should stand against abortions. We still should stand against the taking of a life at any cost, because that life was given by God, and we don't determine who takes that life, but God does. Said they would be covetous. They would want what you have. I'm going to be a bit controversial here today, but I think somebody needs to say it. When you have a generation today that says, you know what, we need to take what everybody else has worked hard to get all of their life and distribute it to everyone else, that is called, biblical terms, being covetous. That steps across the line of just caring for the needy, which the church should be doing, and woe unto us if we are not. However, when you step across the line, when government decides to take by a strong hand from those that have and give it to someone else that doesn't have, and they determine who is the recipient of that, rather than God helping those and funneling it through the church, we have given up over to the government something that belonged to the church from the beginning of time. Because the Bible says that if we don't care for those that are in need, how can we care for God if we aren't caring for those? Said they would be boasters and they would be proud, meaning simply this: it was all about the pompous and the circumstance of themselves and what they could do and what they could accomplish. When we have to pass rules in organized sports today of unnecessary taunting and things of that nature, it's become something that's bigger than just an occasional "I gotcha" in a good nature. But now it's all about stomping the other guy and defeating the other guy at any cost and at any point. I actually was amazed at one of the t-shirts that someone brought me from the John Glenn School Corporation. Most people would say, seriously? That came from a school? And it was literally, I would have to go back and read it again, but it was literally, destroy the other guy at any cost. And that was being put into our teenagers in high school. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that you prefer your brother before yourself. But boasting and being proud is something that's common of today. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents is something that is, in today's society, has been put out there almost as a mockery and a laughing, joking matter in the latest sitcoms. It is something that they put out there in today's sitcoms that is a norm part, because mom and dad are old-fashioned, mom and dad are stupid, mom and dad don't understand you just find and make your own way through life and you'll come out better. You listen to us and not to mom and dad. But the Bible says in the last days, children would start following those things and they would be disobedient to parents. Unthankful and unholy. We're in a generation today that is probably, if you look at the history of time, the most unholy generation we've ever lived in. And in fact, they were just debating, in fact, it passed in the state of Florida. They have, because there was a small manger scene in the courthouse, now there is a full-fledged Satan statue from satanic worshipers and an entire assembly set up for Satan worshipers in the courthouse. And you say, well, it's equal religion. Is it equal religion? This country was not founded upon believing that Satan is where we should turn for our help. And the day this country starts going that way, we're headed for definite destruction. We are in an unholy generation. You let a child get caught praying at school and he's in trouble. You get a child carrying a Bible to school, he's in trouble. We are in an unholy area. There was a day when our leaders were actually praying men of God, that before they made decisions, they would pray about those things. I'll never forget when I was a boy hearing Ronald Reagan as we went in to attack Muammar Gaddafi, as he called the nation to prayer when he declared war on Muammar Gaddafi during that time frame. And that was the first thing he said, is when we're going to send our men and women into battle, I'm calling the nation to prayer. President Bush, no doubt, we all felt the effects of it on 9/11 when President Bush came out on national camera and he said, we need the nation to be a nation on its knees. We need the nation to be a nation of prayer. We must come together to pray for our country. And the country unified behind that. Why? Because there's something in the nature of man that causes him to look to a holy God, a God that could come in his time of need, in his time of trouble. But woe unto us when we turn to Satan for our help. Without natural affections, the marriage between a man and woman is being coming against at a rapid pace that you would not even fathom how fastly it's coming down the chute. That it is something that a union between a man and woman was ordained by God. You find it in creation. Creation in itself, he created man and he created woman. And the woman was to be a helpmeet for the man because of man's needing of a companion and a needing of someone like my wife did to come up here and say, you know what? You forgot the dates. You might want to mention that. It's only 2 weeks out. We need each other. It's something that we are given to. It's something that as a man takes a wife, the Bible says the man that finds a good wife has found a good thing. It is important to understand that we need each other. And in today's society, that is being ripped apart at its very seams. Truce breakers. He said in the last days there would be truce breakers. A shake of a hand and a nod of the head that says, I've got your back and you've got mine. You can sign it on the dotted line. If you shake my hand, I will be there. It will happen. The money will be transferred. I can guarantee you I'm good for it. Me and Brother Kirk was just talking about this before church, and he didn't even know what I was going to be preaching about. But it's the fact of being able to go down and get parts because they trust you, and it's a good name. And they know you're good for it. And that's something that's quickly dying in today's society. He even made mention that the company was even surprised that he was able to do that. Because they're not used to that today. Unless you got a PO, a credit history report, and everything in documentation, they're not going to give you the goods today. Why? because they've been burnt so many times. False accusers couldn't tell you the number of times in today's society that the garbage that's put out there, it just happened this week. I don't know if you, any of you were following any of the news, but even just this week, there was another case that was thrown out there of a young lady that was supposedly gang raped by a sorority or whatever, part of the sorority. There you go. It was a sorority, one of the writers of a magazine came out and really hammered on this, and then this week retracted all of it. But unfortunately, all of the individuals that were involved with that did not do it, their names are already destroyed. It's already trashed. We're in a society that false accusations on politicians will go out and hit the wall just to see if it will ever stick and destroy their entire name. All because of getting ahead in life and in politics. And it doesn't matter if it's true or not. They just throw it out there to see if it can stick. You say that happens in the real world. Well, I'll tell you it happens in the church too. Couldn't tell you the number of pastors that has accusations against them that did not happen. But because they didn't see eye to eye with someone else, they were tried to destroy them. And they said things and put things out there that were not true for one reason, to try to destroy their character and their reputation. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Road rage today is at an all-time high. Just in the last few weeks, there was a Bosnian man pulled out of his car, and they beat him to death with a hatchet here in good old America. Fierceness, abuse, the things that are coming out that we never thought would hit the American soil is here. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I never thought I would see the day that on a Sunday, when most people that was raised up around any kind of religion at all went to church on a Sunday, but now today it's the local sports day, and everybody goes out and enjoys the pleasures of the things that enjoys the flesh, but no longer considers the fact that they need to go spend a little bit of time with the one that created and shed his blood for them. I believe we still need to dedicate time to God. There's a value to, as the church body, gathering together in one mind and in one accord. Then it says they were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I began to read that last statement, and it said denying the power thereof. That means they wanted to have a God, but they didn't want to esteem him as God. They wanted to have a God in their life to be their protector, but they didn't want to have a God that would be their corrector. They wanted to have a God that was powerless in their life, a God that literally they could look to in the time of trouble. But they didn't want a God that would come down and look them in the eye and say, there's going to be a day of judgment. Choose you this day whom you will serve. They don't want that kind of God. And that's the generation we are living in. And Paul told Timothy, these are the last days. And in the last days, perilous times would come. I think it behooves us all as individuals to recognize, and I'm going to be coming to close here in a few minutes, but it behooves us to recognize the times. In Matthew chapter number 24, it says in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and he shall deceive many. We shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, so that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. I don't know if you've noticed, but before Christmas, the Palestinian Authority has now said they're going to bring it before the UN for Israel to be split, to give them half of the Temple Mount. The place that was ordained and given to the Jews by God. The Palestinians now have said, we're going to take it to the UN, and the UN will put the children of Israel out of the place where God has given them. But it says there would be wars and rumors of war. I don't know if you've noticed the threats that's been coming out of Iran. When Iran says, we will not stop until Israel is wiped off the face of the earth. You will hear wars and rumors of wars. As Russia began to step over in to a place called Ukraine and began to send in individuals to send chaos into that nation, to now to where it's controlling part of that nation. A jetliner shooting down over 200 people to their death. Wars and rumors of wars. It says, these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall ye be offended, and many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. You see, when society begins to head down the wrong road, and money is not valued anymore, and you can't defend yourself because you don't have things to defend yourself with, and you can't buy or sell because the nation has taken over the currency, or your money is no longer of value, there will be people, and hear me out, and I'm quickly wrapping up, there will be people that will stand on the street corner and say, I know the answer. I've got this thing under control. Trust in me. The Bible says, don't give ear to those things, because there will be many false prophets that will rise up. And because iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into a mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not come down nor take out anything from his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Perilous times shall come. Verse 20, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, there is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. Skipping down to verse 27, for the sake of time, says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the sound of a trumpet. This is the exciting part. This isn't the tribulation part. This is the homecoming part. This is the exciting part. It says he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree when its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. Ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. May we all stand. I just want to give us just a little bit of hope today. That no matter what we face, no matter what we fight, God's still in control of this thing. If we've ever known it, we better know it today. That it doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter the persecution we may face. It may not matter that you may come out to bail your pastor out of jail someday. The reality is simply this. He's coming back for his church. A bride that has made herself ready, prepared her day, herself for the day that she shall be called away. And the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are in the sea would be given up. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to be with him.